We'll get there. I just feel like I kind of like have a black eye and I'm dragging my foot to the finish line, you know?
We're getting to the finish line.
We've been running this marathon and we're almost there.
Yeah.
You are listening to From the Dome to Your Home podcast, the Municipal Association's weekly look at legislative action and issues facing cities and towns around the state. I'm your host, Casey Fields. Y'all, almost the end of the week and day four,
three and a half. Dun, dun, dun.
I have to, so let me set the stage. Hey, everybody. I've got Joni and Erica with me.
Hello.
Hi.
Today, you're in for a real treat. Everybody knows that when it's ladies' night, except for Mr. Producer, of course. But when it's ladies' night, when the ladies are in the house, that's when it gets real fun.
I was singing that in my head just now, Erica.
Scott has experienced a death in his family, so he is gone this week. We miss him, but we know he'll be back next week. And we look forward to having him back on the show with the rest of the ladies. Mm-hmm. And we will have the full crowd to debrief 2023 session next week. And I have to describe to our listener what... We're in the studio, of course, where we are every week to record the podcast, but Erica and Joni are sitting here recording the podcast with their headphones on, but they have one AirPod in one ear listening to the House and Senate because the House and Senate are still going and they are listening as they are talking to us.
Anything can happen.
That is how, I don't know, I wouldn't call it. You know, that is just how, like, crazy the last, I would say, 2-3 weeks of session
especially this last week.
Right. We're looking for amendments. We're looking for unanimous consent requests. We're looking for recalls. We're looking for anything. And in order to work it all into the schedule, they are listening and talking at the same time, which I think is quite a talent.
I agree. I don't know how this is going to go.
I was going to say, well, it's a talent for now. They're doing introductions on my end.
Right.
If I get quiet, then just flow.
Just keep going. Okay. So we've got a lot to talk about, and because we've had a lot of action over this last week, I know that we've all felt like we've just kind of been put through the ringer. Is that kind of...
Absolutely, 100%.
Like you've been in the washing machine?
It's been a lot.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What is, compared to last year, do y'all feel like this is about par for the course, or is it worse, or...
So last year was different because it was the end of a two-year session, so they had to get things done. This year should not be like this.
Right.
They have next year. Like, right. What is happening right now?
Right. This is the beginning of a two-year session, so bills that don't get passed by next Thursday are still in play for 2024.
So this year should not be the same as last year just because the situation is different. But I feel like it's kind of worse. I don't know, Erica. What do you think?
And I do it to myself because I know what you just said, but I still want our bills to get done this session.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I put a lot of undue stress on me and I had to learn to chill out. We still have another year, but I want it done this session.
Yeah.
Scott shared with us what Senator Tom Davis told him, and it's all about the long game, you know, playing the long game. And I know I am so guilty of wanting it done. Like you said, I want it done now. Yes. I want it introduced, passed, signed, delivered.
On the same day.
Done on the same day. Like I want it. And that's just me being impatient. I need to work on my patience.
Casey, that's me with a house project. I'm like, yes, I want to redo this room
by
4 o'clock today.
Can we have it painted now?
Exactly. Yeah.
I need that reupholstered like yesterday.
100%.
Yeah. I think we can learn a lot about patience in this process.
But yes, for sure.
A lot of times we just don't have it.
No.
I don't know why, but we just don't. In the tradition of this podcast, and Erica, you were on a couple weeks ago. Joni, you haven't been on in a couple weeks, several weeks since budget.
Hi, guys. I'm Joni Nicole. I work for the Municipal Association.
Hi, Joni.
Of course, Joni. But we are going to start off with a little trivia question.
Oh, fun.
So think about it. You have the entire recording to answer. Scott is not here to help you.
I don't know anything about East or West, North or South.
Scott, it has nothing to do with that.
Thank you.
It does have to do with numbers, though.
Okay. scared.
I just got a look. I wish you could see the look that I just got. Erica shot me a look over her glasses. Like, yeah, I just got dubbed. Okay, are y'all ready?
Yes.
Don't answer it now. What are the 10 municipalities in South Carolina with the highest population according to the 2020 census? I'll repeat that question. Y'all, they got pens and pencils and they're writing it down. What are the 10 municipalities in South Carolina with the highest population according to the 2020 census? I will not make you give me the exact population number.
You're kind.
Just to list out those 10 municipalities.
Okay. I have a list.
All right. Let the clock start now.
Okay.
All right. Joni, tell us, let's start this way. Tell us a little bit about the budget and budget rumors and what is happening with it. We know that the House passed it, the Senate got it, the Senate amended it, sent it over to the House, sent it back.
Yep.
And that's where it sits right now. What are we expecting here?
So this week, the House Full Committee or Ways and Means Full Committee adopted a CR, continuing resolution.
And what does that do?
So that keeps everything in play. All state agencies, they will be funded. If a budget is not passed for some reason, okay, pandemic, great example. Mm-hmm. We did not have a budget because we were in a pandemic, so they used a continuing resolution. So what happens under the continuing resolution, though, is anything that was non-recurring
okay.
dollars, you don't get that in a continuing resolution.
Okay.
Recurring dollars, you do. So a CR is not always the best, but it keeps state agencies running.
And Joni, I overheard when Chairman Bruce Bannister from Greenville, the chairman of Ways and Means, when he introduced that continuing resolution on the floor, he called it like an emergency backstop.
Yes.
Like just in case something did happen and we did not get a budget. That was an emergency, kind of a pull.
Yeah.
You know, like a parachute. Almost.
And I don't remember them in the past before the pandemic doing this, but I think we've learned a lot from the pandemic.
Right.
Because this seemed very casual and normal for them. I mentioned it to a few senators and they about gasped. They're like,
okay.
They did what? And I was like, well, they said this is just emergency only. And they're like, are they not going to take up our budget that we sent out? I was like, no. I did not start a new rumor.
Right.
I'm just the messenger. They adopted a continuing resolution. But then the BEA had a new estimate or has a new estimate, and I don't think it's been released yet, but apparently all that new money gone, spent.
Spent, already accounted for.
Already accounted for.
And that's in a House resolution, maybe? I mean, a House amendment to the budget?
I think
or
that's
going to
be
bill?
A supplemental.
Okay.
So, but that money spent. So if you are counting on that money, good luck to you. Because they've already spent it. The governor has some issues that he wanted taken care of.
Okay.
There were some big issues that they just needed that money. So that money's gone.
So no, we don't know, I guess, is the best thing to say. We don't know about earmarks or special projects or festivals or
swimming
pools.
They saved roughly $700 million for some earmarks, but we haven't heard anything. But we'll find out. So the House said this week that they're going to take up the budget after May 9th.
So on Tuesday,
we'll see.
That leaves them 3 days to get it amended out of the House back to the Senate, which can occur in like an hour.
Yeah.
And then to conference if that is needed.
Yep, that is correct.
And once it goes back to the Senate, that's a concur, non-concur because it's a House bill.
That is correct.
And then it can go to conference, which that, I mean, logistically, they can do all that in an hour.
Oh, actually, no. So once it goes, once this is the House's chance,
right.
will go back to the Senate. So we non-concur or concur, and then this will. So it
I thought the House could take the second bite since it was a House bill, so they can amend it.
They can. I'm sorry.
And send it
I'm
back.
Sorry. Back, forth, back
Listen,
again.
You're listening
Listen,
to.
I am. And they just took a vote on the ignition bill, the interlock bill. So do not get a DUI because I think they're about to pass an interlock bill right now. It's in my ear.
So the Senate will be able, they won't be able to amend it again.
They can't amend it again, but they can say concur or non-concur. Right. And that's when the conference and conferees is like kicked up a gear.
Right. So they've got till Thursday to approve a conference report. Should it go to conference? The Senate might say, yeah, cool. We're okay with it.
Doubtful, but yeah.
Right. Okay.
If they do, I owe you a drink.
yes. Can we go back to that place that we went in Charleston and had that hibiscus drink that was the most delicious thing I've ever had
with
in my entire life?
The sweetest little bartender.
Yes. That wouldn't give us the recipe, but gave us the recipe.
Who wanted to call us ma'am, but refused to, which was nice.
And didn't we eat deviled eggs?
We did.
Okay. So, y'all, paint the picture for everybody. I'm switching gears. Paint the picture for everybody with the second subcommittee hearing for the short-term rental bill, House Bill 3253. I need to know, Erica, when you walked in the room, the vibe, the feeling, the, you know, kind of, this is the second hearing the subcommittee, the 3M subcommittee has had. We talked about it extensively last week. Mm-hmm. Tell me how did it feel? We had more people there.
We did. And it kind of had the same vibe as the first one. Yeah. We knew that there were still a lot of people who did not have the opportunity to testify since there was only an hour in that meeting.
Right.
But we only had an hour in this meeting and we still knew that there were quite a few people that needed to testify. Honestly, I walked in feeling like we got it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We're good. We did the groundwork. Our members came in. Our mayors showed up as we asked them to. And I knew we had it. There was no doubt in my mind that that bill would stay in subcommittee, mm-hmm. short-term rentals.
We had, we had a lot of people calling and writing letters outside of showing up to the subcommittee.
Right.
We had a lot of people kind of backing the people up that were testifying. I know a lot of cities and towns sent letters. A lot of people, you know, expressed their concern for the bill.
Yeah. I have to give a shout out to Representative Joe Bustos, who chaired that committee, that subcommittee. I thought he did a great job in explaining the bill, taking his time.
That's right.
To explain the bill, listen to everyone that had something to say on the bill. Mm-hmm. And we still didn't get to all public comment. We didn't get to anyone online. But the bill, as it stands, is still in sub. They just adjourned the meeting.
Yeah, they didn't take any action.
Mm-hmm. And to echo Erica, when I first got there, you know, I was feeling pretty good, but then there was a lot of conversation about an amendment.
Mm-hmm.
And Erica and I, you know, exchanged glances. Right. We're like, what is happening? So I was a little hesitant that they were going to adopt this amendment as the working document, which is not uncommon.
Right.
Committees do this all the time.
Right.
But going back to what Erica said with Chairman Bustos, he did a great job and refused to adopt this amendment that not everyone, not all parties had time to vet
to look at
and
yep.
see, and allowed them to testify on the bill because that's what they came to do.
Right.
Instead of this amendment that not everyone, number one, not everyone has seen, and number two, not everyone likes, including us.
Right.
Yeah.
So,
and he's turning out to be, and has always been, in my opinion, a champion of home rule.
Yeah.
And I like to see that. So,
and I'll tell you, I have two more shout outs. Well, this week, two council members from Isle of Palms came. The mayor of Isle of Palms came last week, and two of his council members came this week. And the mayor of Folly Beach, Tim Goodwin, he came. But I got to shout out Representative David O'Neill.
Yes.
My man from Tiga K used to be on the Association of South Carolina Mayors board. He is former mayor of Tiga K. Mm-hmm. He came to testify against the bill and in favor of cities and towns maintaining their ability to regulate short-term rentals. And Representative Spencer Wetmore, she's the former manager administrator from Folly Beach. She used her experience to also talk about, you know, how important it was for each city to regain their control, or not regain, but maintain their control.
Yeah, she's been staying engaged this whole process, asking us, what are you hearing on the bill, and sharing any intel she received. And I'll tell you, Casey, what we learned is that there have been some unofficial polls on the floor, the House floor, and it's not clear if this were to ever make it to the floor, which we would fight tooth and nail to prevent that. It's just so divided and so split that there's no guarantee that this will even be successful.
And it's not a partisan bill.
That's
right.
It's
just it's definitely not split along party lines.
That's
It's a tough issue. It's a tough issue. Mm-hmm. It brings in a lot of different topics that are difficult. Yeah. And, you know, we want to continue to we just want to continue to be able to regulate at the local level.
That's right.
I think human fentanyl bill just got attached to another bill just now.
No way.
Yeah.
So that's a good break because right now everybody is trying to get their bills passed. Even though we talked about earlier, it's just the beginning of the 2-year session. Fentanyl has been one of those bills, and you worked on passing both versions.
Correct.
Of fentanyl.
153 and I think 3503. Mm-hmm. Senate and House. We do believe that our law enforcement folks favor the House version a little bit. But yeah, we've seen in subcommittee this week or full committee an amendment amending the House version of fentanyl onto some Senate bills to hurry up.
So they're trying to trying to get that done. Mm-hmm. And the short-term rental, preserving cities and towns' abilities to regulate short-term rentals, that's one of our advocacy initiatives. So
absolutely.
We're still, you know, that still exists. That's still out there for next year. I want to send a huge congratulations to Erica on 31.
Oh, woo.
Woo-woo.
Yes, Lord.
31. It passed the Senate. Mm-hmm. It passed a Ways and Means subcommittee.
Yes.
And it's just been kind of sitting. And earlier this week, the agenda came out for full Ways and Means this morning, and it wasn't on there.
It was not on there. And just to remind everyone, this is the municipal audit bill that allows smaller cities and towns with fewer than 500,000 in revenue to submit a compilation of financial statements. Well, our friends at the Association of Counties, after it came over from the Senate, where it passed unanimously, they got an amendment. The chairwoman of the Ways and Means General Laws Subcommittee to introduce an amendment that would basically give them a 90-day extension on county audits. So there were some questions. There were a few questions about the county amendment, never ours.
Right.
And so that caused Chairman Bruce Bannister to hold off putting Senate Bill 31 on the Ways and Means agenda until that got solved.
Right.
So in the lobby Tuesday, I grabbed Representative Cobb Hunter, Representative Bill Taylor, and I grabbed a gentleman from the Association of Counties, and I'm like, let's work it out ASAP. And we had
you put everybody together, and you're like, you,
let's get this going. Yeah. And thankfully, he had already worked out their concerns. And so huge shout out to Representative Cobb Hunter, Representative Taylor. They immediately went to the chairman and said, we're good. Let's get it on the agenda. And not even an hour later, we got the updated email that it had been added. And today's Thursday, it passed unanimously out of Full Ways and Means today.
Yeah. So it should be, it could have been right across the desk today if they got all that, all the bills that they passed out in time.
If they ran.
Yeah. If they ran, if they sprinted over. Yeah. But likely right across on Tuesday.
Well, and if they didn't make it this in time this morning, when they recur to the morning hour, they can read
they
them
can
across.
Read them.
They can, and which, if I was a staffer, I would ask for them to recur to the morning hour to get that read across. That way it's printed on Tuesday, waive the printing, and get it.
And recurring to the morning hour, for our listener, that just means you go back up to the top of the daily order of business.
That is correct.
And you start from scratchola.
So at this point, it's just a concurrence. Once it gets over to the Senate, we're just looking for a concurrence because they have not seen the county amendment yet. They're familiar with our bill that hasn't changed. And so we're working on that.
So it could... it could pass this year.
Yes, it could.
That's what we're working toward.
It could.
And then another congratulations to you on squat trucks.
Yes.
Squat trucks, Senate Bill 363, the Senate version of squat trucks, passed the House yesterday.
Got third reading today.
Third reading today. Yes. That's right. Second reading on Wednesday, third reading. And that will go back to the Senate for either concurrence or amendment. Since it's a Senate bill, they get another bite. But what we're asking for is concurrence.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
Okay. That was also one of our advocacy initiatives.
It was.
Right. Is supporting those cities that want to ban squat trucks since they've had a lot of trouble with accidents and that kind of thing. Joni has this look on her face like she's listening to me, but she's also listening to the Senate.
I am. I'm sorry. So the Senate, I mean, the House is, I'm listening to the House. Erica's on the Senate.
Got it.
The House is trying to amend the utility bill, firearm near utility.
They did that in subcommittee.
But they're trying to add fentanyl to it right now. And someone just raised the point of order of germaneness. And I don't think he realizes if he does this, then this bill's not going to pass. And everybody's kind of like, why'd you raise that point of order? Everyone wants this to go through. So we'll see.
So there are rules in the Senate and the House where any amendment that is attached to a bill has to be related to the bill topic.
That's correct.
And under the one subject rule, you can't have 4,000 different things going on in one bill.
Yeah.
So Joni just gave you a little taste of what we talk about. And, you know, sometimes y'all, we talk about, we work, and we've got to admit, we work in a bubble. And the way we talk to each other, not like disrespectfully, but the way the language we use as far as germaneness and point of order and all these things are related to our job. Mm-hmm. And then when you try to start explaining it to somebody else who doesn't work in this world, you're like, you know what?
Start at the beginning.
You're like, forget it. Don't worry about it. But anyway, got you. Right. Exactly. We'll take care of it. Don't worry. And that's what we want y'all to know, that we got you. This is how we roll. Mm-hmm. All right, y'all. Well, Erica, one more.
Yes.
Bond reform.
Yes. So both bodies passed their versions of bond reform. Neither body liked the other body's version. And so a conference committee has been pulled together. Mm-hmm. We saw that last night around 8 or 9 o'clock.
I know, y'all. We were the Senate stayed in later last night. They were trying to work through some bills that they had put in kind of a special order or debate status. And so we, Erica and Joni and I were texting up until about 9:30 or 10, I think, when they adjourned. And so we were, they were announcing these conference committee members last night. So we were able to get that and get that in the report.
I think it's a solid committee. On the House side, we have Representative Johnson.
Jeff Johnson.
Jeff Johnson. Yep. Robbie Robbins from Somerville and Spencer Wetmore.
Right.
And on the Senate side, we have Senator Gerald Malloy, who I spoke highly of.
Yes,
the
that's right.
On bond reform that's the right. last time I was that's here. Right. Senator Brian Adams, who we spoke highly of as well. And Senator Hembree. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is whether or not that conference committee will meet next week, or we have not seen a signy die resolution. So if they'll be
that,
allowed
Erica,
to come back.
Yeah, let's talk about that for a second. Yeah. Usually by this time, we have seen a signy die resolution, which allows the General Assembly to determine when they come back after their, you know, required adjournment and what they can take up. Mm-hmm. Normally we have a signy die resolution that says they're going to come back these 3 dates and handle the budget and maybe a couple of other matters. But, we don't have that yet.
No.
Well, that's making me a little bit nervous.
Well, I think it's because they don't want to come back. So if there's not a signy die resolution in place, the only person that can make them come back is the governor.
Right.
So I take it as a cue that maybe these people don't want to come back.
You think we're going to get a budget before Thursday?
I hope so. If not, maybe that's why they went ahead and did that continuing resolution. Maybe.
Well, I'll share. This is where we talk about intel that we received. Right. I had to reach out to a staff member to help get 31 on the agenda, and they said, I am swamped with H2. So they are swamped with the budget.
Okay.
So hopefully
they're trying. Maybe. Yeah.
Hopefully that's good. So I wasn't really getting anywhere with staff, understandably.
Right.
They're tied. So we were able to get help from some of the members. But going back to the conference committee for our listener, I think we have a lot of listeners. For our listeners, for our listeners, this is where 3 members of the Senate, 3 members of the House come together and try to strike up a compromise. And since we don't have a signing die resolution, I'm hoping that'll happen next week, but it's still unclear.
And that makes me a little nervous. It gives me just a little bit of heartburn. Mm-hmm.
So in the signing die resolution, you can always bring up conference committees and those can, but if you don't have one, like Erica said, then that has to wait till next year.
Right.
And FYI, they just overruled that point of order.
Nice.
And they adopted the amendment. But they ruled it germane.
So the fentanyl bill. So the fentanyl amendment was attached to the Senate utility.
That is correct.
Bill.
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah. They overruled it and said that because it was debated in February 2nd and it was a House bill and it was in the same section. I was listening to both of y'all, so I missed, missed that. But he overruled it and they just voted on it.
Come on.
And I promise I'm listening, but we're in recess right now. So come it's quiet on my end, which I am grateful for. I don't know if I would be as good as you are listening to two.
I'm looking over at Joni and all of a sudden her face will go like this or she'll go like, start writing what stuff down. I know. I'm like, what is happening? Interrupt me. Joni, do you have a second to talk about the affordable housing bill?
I do.
Okay. So Senate Bill 284 passed the Senate. It went into a subcommittee, House Ways and Means Subcommittee last week.
Yep.
They adjourned debate. Mm-hmm. They brought it up again this week. And then that was on Tuesday morning and then put it on the agenda for the full this morning. So tell me about what happened to our affordable housing bill.
So in between last week and this week, this original sponsor, Senator Davis of the bill, was working with some other parties on an amendment. And we got a hold of that amendment. And what that amendment does is it takes away all references to H tax in the bill and deletes that. And okay. only.
So you can only use A-tax. Accommodations tax.
That okay. is correct. And then there's a 15% cap. So you can only use 15%
of your accommodations tax revenue.
Correct. Okay. And there's also a sunset clause of 7 years.
Okay.
Which they give, there's some bond language in there that allows you to bond it, but who's going to bond if there's a 7 year
right,
sunset?
Right. If you can't. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And I was speaking with some people within our building and they said, you know, while this is a great bill and, you know, we helped write it, mm-hmm. wonderful, we kind of wish it was reversed, that they did away with the A tax.
Right.
And
included the hospitality.
Yeah. Because the hospitality tax is what you and I do. Like, let the local people who attribute to the hospitality tax mm-hmm. use that
mm-hmm. for affordable housing.
Exactly. So, you know, it's a compromise.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, what do I always say about a compromise? If you walk out of a room and you're like, man, I wish it would have been this way, but you kind of feel good about it, then it's a good compromise.
Right.
You got something. You're not completely.
But you gave up something,
too. You gave up something, too. Yeah. So it was a very, very fast subcommittee. Mm-hmm. They went over the amendment. They adopted the amendment. And then Ways and Means this morning, I came in on the tail end because I was leaving Judiciary, but I heard them and I didn't. I mean,
so it was favorable. They did have one additional amendment. So that bill implements the land use study committee.
Oh, yeah. And they mm-hmm. changed the habitat. There was some definition.
There was an error with how habitat was listed, but they also added representation from manufactured housing to that study committee. And that was it. And then they passed it out favorably. 17-4.
That full House Ways and Means Committee had how many bills on the agenda? Like,
there were more than 10.
Yeah.
That's a lot.
I mean, it was a lot. And they meant
business. Through. And I was in the hall when the chairman arrived and he said, oh man, I'm a minute late. And he got in 1 minute and he was not happy with himself. And he got in there, went to work. Everything was unanimous. And what they did was they applied the previous unanimous vote to the next vote.
Okay.
So typically they would have to do a roll call vote, which takes a lot of time.
Right.
But they just used the last unanimous vote for the
following vote. And everybody was cool with it. And
everything was fine. The only vote that was taken was on what we just talked about, Senate Bill 284. So we'll definitely watch that on the House. But it still passed 17-4 with one member abstaining. A few were absent.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to believe there may be some conversations on the floor, but I think we're still in good shape.
That's great.
Yeah.
That's great. Yeah. The fact that it's getting forward motion and not stuck somewhere, that is something that is absolutely huge.
Now, at the close of that meeting, and Joni and I talked about this, we're not sure what it could mean, but Chairman Bannister warned us to we might see another full committee meeting Tuesday morning. Yeah. And at that point, we might need to take up some bills. He didn't say which bills they are. But at this point, I'm
could
not
be related
sure.
to the budget.
You're right.
It could be
You're
related right. to the budget.
It could be.
You're right.
Maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe but that's a supplemental bill with
maybe
that
money. It's H2. Yeah. Maybe they want to get it out of committee.
Okay.
Because I bet it'll be a committee bill.
So Tuesday at 9.
If I had to guess. I just want to tell all of our listeners that y'all are basically eavesdropping into a strategy session that we're having right here. We just kind of forgot we were on the podcast and started talking about, all right, y'all, we need to do this. Okay.
We'll do that.
Behind the scenes.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, y'all. And it starts on Monday. Well, it goes all weekend. Mm-hmm. When we hear something, we're always texting each other. It's very fluid, but it all starts Monday morning when we come in and we start talking and figuring out who's going where, the schedule for the week. I don't see many subcommittee meetings next week because you can't, there's
What's
no way
point?
To get it out of a subcommittee and full committee. I imagine a lot of floor work. They will be in until 5 o'clock next Thursday. They'll use all that time to either wait on the other chamber to send bills over that they can concur or non-concur or, just to take up their own bills and send them over. Y'all, what else do we need to talk about? What else happened? What else is going on?
I mean, it was a busy week.
It was a really busy week. We do not expect short-term rentals to come back this session. we expect to work on it over the summer with stakeholders.
And that's what, but that is one that we are watching to make sure it does not become an ornament on a Christmas tree bill.
That's right. That's right.
And what our listeners may or may not know, I can't remember if this was covered in a previous podcast. We talked a lot about the 3M, the House bill,
yes,
that Representative Lee Hewitt introduced and how we were working that in subcommittee. But there has been an effort ongoing in the Senate to attach, I think it started with the budget, a short-term rental ban, on ban on a ban.
Right.
During the budget. And then once again, last night, there were three bills,
three amendments
filed by Senator Sandison, pertaining specifically to folly, but still short-term rental ban.
And that's what she did in the budget. It was very specific to folly.
They were ruled out of order.
One was ruled out of order. Yeah. And then I think the other ones, since that one was ruled out of order, they were just tabled. I think one of them where Senator Burton just got up and he was like, well, I moved to table.
Yeah.
And it was rarely any discussion. But y'all and all three of us were listening and texting. She said, I have not been successful to this point, but I'm not going to stop.
Yeah.
This is not the end of this, you know, with her. So well,
we're not either.
Yeah. So we're going to have to, you know, be very vigilant with that, because that ability, I mean, I feel like I'm a broken record, but the ability for cities and towns to regulate at the local level is just critical.
And to make it clear, we don't hate short-term rentals.
Exactly.
We don't we don't mind short-term rentals. We don't mind them. We just like to regulate them.
We just want to be able to manage them to preserve our neighborhoods and communities. And
100%. VRBO quality of life. My top use app on my
phone.
That's
right. Yeah.
I
is
love
it really?
A short-term rental. Yeah, I really do. But yes, we need to regulate them. I went, a friend of mine had a get together and I went and I looked down the street at 50 of our cars lining this area. And I'm like, okay, if I was a neighbor, I'd be upset.
Right.
Too.
Right.
Yeah. So cities and towns need that ability.
Right. Agree. That's a good example. Anything else, y'all, before I talk about the quiz, about the trivia question. Three more days.
Dun, dun.
We have Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Next session, next version, next episode of the podcast, all four of us will be on to debrief.
Okay.
To talk about what happened, how we feel about it.
I'm gonna have to call in. That's my graduation day for, as a port ambassador.
Oh, how about that?
I'll call in.
Do you get a certificate?
I better get a sash. Ambassadors wear sashes. Okay. I want a sash.
Oh, you want to look like you're like
legit.
An international ambassador, not one for the South Carolina port.
100%, Casey. Got it. Like you know me.
You get a pin?
Better. I mean, anything.
A bouquet of flowers? Will it look
I'm going to buy my own.
Like, you'll have your own sash. Well, Joni, we will all go in and get you a sash if you are not provided one.
Thank you. Thank you.
By the South Carolina Ports Authority. The Ports Authority, funny, is located in a city on this list.
I love how you did that. I love how you did that. Good job.
That is located.
Me, Charleston. Charleston. Yes,
very good, Jenny.
I got you for the first four.
All right. That is one. In fact, the largest.
The largest, right.
Yeah, Charleston has now surpassed others.
Columbia. Right. Columbia is number two.
Greenville. Right. Is Greenville on
Hold on. Greenville's on there. I'm trying to go in order,
North Charleston is number three?
Yes.
Why are you doing an order?
Shout out to North Charleston. Okay.
The birthplace of
Erica Danielle Wright. Absolutely.
What about Florence?
Charleston is the... Yes, that's on the list.
Charleston's number three.
Charleston is on the list with number one at 150,227 people. Columbia, you said, was number two with 137,000 people.
Yes.
And then you said North Charleston number is number three with 114,852 people. What's after North Charleston?
It's not Mount Pleasant, is it?
Yes, ma'am, it is.
Oh, come on. Is it? I didn't have Mount Pleasant on my list.
Mount Pleasant at 91,000 people.
Okay.
What about Spartanburg? Did Spartanburg make the list?
Negative, Ghost Rider.
Number five.
After Mount Pleasant is, do you want some hints?
Rock Hill? Is Rock
Hill?
Yes. Oh, good job.
What?
Home of Winthrop University.
Home of the Fighting Eagles.
Yes.
At 74,000.
Yes.
After Rock Hill is, you said it earlier.
Somerville?
No.
Florence.
Greenville.
Greenville.
71,000. Then the birthplace of sweet tea.
Oh, Somerville.
Somerville.
That was on my list.
The Flower Festival. Uh-huh. Isn't the Flower? The road.
Flower Town.
Flower Town. Uh-huh. That's right. At 51,000 people.
Okay.
Then after some of it, Somerville is a neighboring
Goose Creek.
Yes.
I can hear Mayor Habib always saying, I'm the mayor of the eighth largest city in South Carolina.
Right. It's the creek, and that is at 46,000 people. Then you go to the hometown of our friend T-Mac.
Didn't I say Rock Hill already? No, wait.
Mm-mm. No, the birthplace of our friend Thomas McElveen. Senator Thomas McElveen.
Sumter.
Sumter.
You said T-Mac. I'm still listening. I heard T-Pope.
Yeah. Sumter at 43,000. And then y'all already said the last one, Florence.
Okay.
Florence.
At 40,000 people.
Okay. So that doing is the, it in order.
The top. Oh, you like that is your personality.
Yeah.
But that is the top 10 largest municipalities. And now, while most of these chose the city designation, there are two that are towns. Can you tell me?
The town of Somerville.
Yes.
And the town of Mount Pleasant.
God. What is your deal today?
That was good, Erica.
You are on fire.
I'm still reading the list. I'm like,
you are on fire today. You better go buy a lottery ticket.
You know,
because you are, you got it.
You know, okay.
Y'all, thanks for being here.
Thank you for having us.
It's so much fun. And to why, I mean, y'all are some extraordinary women, and I'm just glad that I get to work with y'all every day and fight these battles together.
The feeling is 100%. Mutual.
Y'all join us next week for a full recap of the 2023 session. Scott will be back and we'll have everybody in the studio with everybody's opinions and stories, and it'll be great. Thanks, everybody. Be sure to follow the Municipal Association's podcasts on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, Spotify, and SoundCloud. Find the latest from the Municipal Association on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and the Association's website, masc.sc.